This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Energy Stoners Cafe. Thanks for coming to the show. Today, I have a great guest. It's a woman who's a performing artist and a writer, and she's a muralist, and she's a poet, and she's an actor. I'm very enamored with her work. She's incredible, and I've asked her to come and talk to us because her career is so diverse. I feel that it's inspiring. It's inspirational. Her name is Katori Walker. Hi, Katori. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you? I'm doing well. And just so thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here.
Thanks for being on. It really means a lot to me because I want to tell the audience that I became familiar with your work when I saw you in a stage performance. And I was stunned when I found out in this stage performance the part that you were really playing, and that you were playing all of the parts. And I was just amazed that you could do this, make transition from one character to the next. The name of the play, I'll tell the audience, was called Ajuma, A-J-U-M-A, A Journey You Make Alone. And tell the audience a little bit about that. You were the main character. It's like a one-woman show.
I wrote the play, and it was my first time writing a play. So I'm very happy to say I'm a playwright. And I wrote it, and I actually played all the characters. Mara Mills directed it, and it was just awesome. And so the play was about four generations of women and an unborn child. And I was playing the part of my family members, my grandmother, my mother, and my great-grandmother, and myself. I did not play the unborn child part, but I had a wonderful young lady play that part. But it was all about a little glimpse into the lives and the struggles and the little secrets that we have in our families. And I wanted to expose that because I thought it would be helpful for anyone that wanted to come see the play or hear about it, just to let people know, you know, how we went through it and what we did, and that it's okay to have these things happen in our lives because it can be lessons for other people to learn from.
It contributes to the person that you are. I was very impressed with your acting skills. I have to say, I haven't much seen anything like that because Katori, and we've spoken about this too before, and I'll tell the audience, remind them that Katori is a friend of the show, as is Mara Mills. But I was stunned when I realized at the end of the show that it was really one person, because even though I kind of knew it going in, it didn't really appear to be that way as I was watching. Very powerful performance, Katori.
Thank you. I give all my love, and I'm so happy that Mara took the chance on me. I owe so much to her. I mean, to really make this beautiful production, you know, in my mind, it was just going to be me just sitting in a chair, acting out different parts. And she just took it to a whole nother level. So I'm just really honored that she had the faith in me and the belief in me. And she is an amazing director. And she helped me because I've never done that before. I've acted before, but never to this level and never doing anything like this before. So I give my complete gratitude to her and the patience to help me be able to do this and support me in it.
And doing this, was it, what should I say, cathartic for you? Were you able to release some feelings that you might have had stored inside because you really emoted? Your emotions were so, you can almost like, it just permeated the whole theater. I just have to say, performance, and anybody who's listening, I have to just say, you know, that Katori Walker is an extremely skilled actor.
Thank you so much. That means a lot for me. You're really inspiring me to do another play.
I wish you would.
I mean, let me tell you, it was healing. It was exactly what you said. And it was so healing. And, you know, at one point, Mara did have to help me with, you know, kind of stepping out and not, you know, I was so emotional in certain areas of the play. And she had to really, her wonderful coaching helped me be able to get through some of the scenes. And I didn't have the training. So she actually worked really hard to show me and guide me so that I could sort of step out of it so I wouldn't become so immersed, because there were times when I went home and I would just cry.
Yeah, it was sad. It was a sad play, but inspiring. It was inspiring, but there's a sadness in this play. It's a kind of sadness that if you're watching it, it actually gives the viewer sort of an emotional release. That's what I had when I was there in the theater. I was alone when I saw it. I was just really impressed. But I want to tell the audience that you also do a lot of visual art. You're a painter. You're a muralist.
Yes, yes. I love the fact that I've been able to do many different things artistically, and being able to paint again, that was coming from a space of healing again from doing that. And being a muralist was, you know, that came from my boyfriend, who is a muralist, training me and teaching me and just watching him, and then being able to do it myself and create murals that I think, you know, each mural I did has a purpose. But the beginning of my artwork, which goes around the theme of Katori Kids, which stands for Kids Are Special, Our Real Inspiration, really stemmed from my whole traumatic life of being kidnapped and raped and then tortured for 2 days.
Wow, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, and that, you know, that whole story ended up translating and being a healing, you know, art into art. But no one would know that, because I paint very innocent, bold, simplistic characters, and their purpose is to portray innocence. The purpose is to have you reach in and just feel warm, like touch that inner child within you. And that's what I was doing for myself. And then from that, I have now developed a signature of just Katori, where that's just more of being a multimedia artist doing different things. But I'm told that my Katori kids touch people in different ways, and I'm commissioned to do different ones. And I'm very happy, you know, that I'm able to bring a smile to people, because it's happy art.
It is happy art, and I've seen it. Now, you have murals for Katori Kids, and correct me if I make a mistake here, because you do so many things, it's hard to keep track. But I've seen your murals. We actually viewed them together in Yonkers. But the Katori Kids one, I thought that it was very, there was a unifying of the community within your art. And I'm wondering if that was your purpose when you painted. Was that your intention, I'll say? When you painted these murals, they're outstanding. They're joyful.
Yes, that is definitely the intention. I really want my art to be is to just have people, when they look at it, that there's a light within us and it just illuminates, you know, and it just brings a smile to your face. And one of the places that I painted was for the Daylighting 3. I was asked to do something for their park and paint on a electrical box.
Right, I saw that.
So that one definitely was, you know, geared toward the community. It was to celebrate the reemergence of the habitat, the animals, the muskrats, the egrets, the American eel, and other animals that are coming back, because they restored that area, uncovered the pavement, and made it to resemble a natural waterway. So I painted those things on the electrical box to just brighten up that space, but also to let people see, you know, how this is bringing back nature in that area. So that was very meaningful. And so many people, while I was painting it, they thought I was painting an I was going to be selling ice cream. I was painting like this box so that I could sell so ice cream.
That's funny.
And then when I told them what I was doing, they were like, and they felt very proud to have something like that in their community. And every day, I mean, and then one time I was a little scared, because somebody, when they walked by, they was like, this better be good. You better make this good. You know, I live here. And every day they would check it out. And at the end, they gave me a thumbs up. So I guess I did a good job.
No, you did do a good job. And I have seen the work. And, you know, I'll just share with the audience, because we are a global broadcast here, is that you're actually in the New York metropolitan area. It is a city suburb or a suburban city. And you have brightened it up. If anybody's listening, just, you know, you can take a look by Googling Katori Walker or Katori Kids or Katori, and you'll be able to see some of the work that she's done. And I'm going to sort of segue into talking about a project that's going on right now. I think it's complete, actually, in which I'll be transparent and say I collaborated on this project, too. We didn't work together, but our work was presented together.
Yes, and that was such a surprise.
I was shocked.
Oh, my gosh. I was so happy.
I knew it was meant to be when I saw your name, and I said, oh, my gosh. So you wrote a poem. Now, you can explain to the audience a little bit, even though we're just people that were hired into this project, but tell the audience a little bit about Stages of Love.
So Stages of Love is a true story that's based on the intimate experience of Black women. And the whole idea is to give the audience an experience of emotions. And they created these five stages, 1 through 5, and it's bliss, lust, disillusionment, transformation, and self-reflection. And the audience gets the chance to look at, in each stage, artwork and poems. They get to hear poems that was created by Black and Latinx women. And it's a film streaming on Binge Wave. And this was produced by a company called A Vision Artists, which is directed by Ashley Antonio Lopez and Camille Elvry. And it's filmed by a person by the name of Jared Solomon. And what's beautiful about this production company is this gives you the opportunity to express yourself in a safe and supportive platform. And so when I was asked to write the first section, one of the first stages, which was bliss, it was just amazing. Like, I didn't have to follow any major guidelines. I had complete creative license to do whatever I wanted to do. And I wrote 3 poems, actually, to submit for Bliss. She loved them all, but she really liked that the one that she chose.
You're doing a voiceover, and you could see your acting chops sort of kicked in, because I did hear it, because I was on the set when they filmed that particular scene, and they played your voice the whole time. And I got to tell you, you're really something else, Katori. I didn't know that you could do something quite like this. And tell them more about, like, how your process in actually writing the poem about bliss.
So the bliss, it had to be, you know, because it's a true story, so it had to be something that was my truth. And so the name of the poem that I wrote, I told you I wrote 2 others, but the one that they chose was called My Lover. And of course, I'm not going to, you know, I can't read it, but the whole idea is that I wanted to capture the feeling you have, you know, when you first fall in love with someone.
Yeah, you know, I remember.
Like, yes, that like honeymoon, you know, stage, and you're like, oh, I'm never going to love anyone else, you know. And I wanted to take it a little step further, too, which may, you know, I don't know if the audience will get, but I also wanted to have that, you know, it's not just when you fall in love for the first time. It also extends to, you know, that love when you work on your relationship to foster growth and just make it last forever. And you just put in that work no matter what it is. And, you know, bliss is supposed to be like this happiness, this great joy, it's pleasure, it's completely oblivious to the world. But when I was doing that, I was remembering an interview, because I interview people as well. And I remember an interview that I did with a couple that had been together for about over 50 years.
Wow,
I think it was
a long
more.
Time.
Yeah. And when I was interviewing them, you would just see like the twinkle in their eyes. It was real. You know what I mean? They weren't just trying to show up. I mean, they were even cracking on each other. They weren't just trying to impress me. I really could see the tenderness, and they admitted the tough times, the struggling, the challenges. But they have that bliss, that love that you could just feel in the air. And that's what I thought of, as well as my own experiences, because I truly believe that when you have a sense of happiness already inside of you, and that shines through and you can share it with someone else and that person can do the same thing, that it is bliss. You're not depending on someone else to make you happy. So I also wanted that to come through. And I think the dancer, you know, she did a great job. Like, I feel that she's dancing and she's showing, but what's coming through is, I think, also not just the love and bliss of someone else, but the love and bliss of herself.
Yeah, she was, I don't remember her name. I can't recall it right this second, but I was on the set for that. And I was really impressed with the fact that, you know, when they have, you know how it is when you film something, you have to stop and then do something else or change something. And she was able to go through this process and get her body to reflect this beautiful feeling. You felt that she was in love. You felt so, I felt so much that she was in love that I want to be in love.
Yeah, yes. And like, I have to tell you, so when I found out that you were going to be the artist, okay, so let me just set this up for your, the audience. I mean, basically you have the poem being read and then, so it's this voiceover and then you have the music and then you see the dancer dancing to the music and showing an expression. And then you also have the artist. So they have an artist that paints, will paint according to, you know, the poem. I mean, I don't want to speak to how you did your process, but that was what it was explained to me. You know, you got the poem and you were, you know, you used it in some way. And let me tell you, when I found out it was you, I knew it was going to be phenomenal. And when I saw that picture, the painting that you created, it just moved me. Like how the dancer, you as the artist, it all came together. And I mean, throughout the play too, but I mean, throughout the film with other sections, but because I'm talking about my section, so beautiful. It's like we all read each other's minds.
It is kind of funny how I picked a color that it was the exact same color as the dancer's dress.
Yes.
That was stunning. When I got to the set and the color, the it's like that yellow oxide was the same color as the dancer's dress. I didn't plan that. I think that there was so much spirituality in this whole production that was just there. Not that we talked about that or anything. It was so much synergy is the word I want to use. The synergy just revealed itself.
We were all aligned. We were all aligned. I feel like mind, soul, and body, like we were just all aligned, but yet we didn't speak, you know, so much on together with it. And I just think that's amazing.
It is amazing. And I have to say, maybe it was Ashley and Camille sort of, and Jared kind of, I think their energy kind of created that. I felt like that because I saw the three of them working together. And I said, this is just, was meant to be. I tell everybody, go out there and fall in love. It's a good thing.
Yes, yes.
We need more of that.
Yes, and we need to love ourselves.
Oh, know? Yes, exactly.
Well, yes. So then we can be able to give that and share it. You know, so I just want to say before we move forward, if you don't mind.
No,
this is
please.
Going to premiere. The actual film is going to, Stages of Love, is going to premiere on December 12th. They have 6:40 and 9 p.m. Eastern time slots. And then the other dates are the 13th and the 18th of December. I have to tell you, I think the tickets are very reasonable. They range from anywhere from $3, okay, and 58 cents to $6.68, depending on what day you purchase the tickets. And you can definitely go to their website to see a virtual art gallery, which, of course, features your artwork. And, you know, the website is envisionartisticcompany.org, envisionartisticcompany.org. And if you go through that, you will also find the link, you know, so that you can purchase your tickets. And I really think that the audience would enjoy that if they do that.
It's a good thing to watch with your lover.
Yes.
It is. I like that it's sort of unabashed the way they've presented it. But there's something that's very beautiful about it. I've seen a little bit, not everything. I recommend it. And this Stages of Love production, there are other visual artists, other spoken word artists, and other dancers, I understand. So it's really quite a nice collection of love vibe. I'm going to say it like that. The vibe is all about love, everybody. So you did that. I'm very impressed, and I didn't expect it. You know, because I sort of had this thing in my head of seeing you in Ajuma. There were a couple of other places that you exhibited.
Okay, so I'm going to go with the Hudson River Museum exhibit.
That's the one. I'm sorry.
One of the current projects is called Women to the Fore at the Hudson River Museum, and that's in Yonkers, New York. And it's a beautiful exhibition, and it celebrates more than 40 women artists spanning 150 years. It's going to be up until January 3rd. So people can see it. And right now, you know, with COVID-19, I know people are concerned, but they do a really great job at only allowing a certain amount of people in the museum at a time. So they have this lady, I had to just thank her. She was just walking around with a spray bottle and wiping everything down. Even while people are visiting, she was amazing. So I'm honored to be one of the three artists that was asked to create the title wall. So it's actually a huge mural. The mural stands about 11 to 15 feet. And so it's the title wall, and it's called The Garden of the Divine Feminine. And if you're curious, the two other artists, their names are Nancy Mendez and Patty Santos, and we are all local residents of Yonkers. And it was a great collaboration working with these three other women who are just phenomenal artists and they're just on their own. And what this mural really is, it represents the power and the reign of women embracing who they are. We wanted to show love and respect for themselves, nurturing, beauty, sensual, respect, evolution, consciousness, just celebrating existence, a higher state of being, birthing, journey, transition, spirituality, sisterhood, healing. So it's like an imaginary oasis. One other thing was that it has in it, I kind of put in like hidden little symbolism. So it's really fun to challenge people who come to see it to see if they can find the certain things that are in there to create this beautiful piece. So if you wanted to at least see some of it, you can, if you can't get to the museum, you can definitely go to the website, which is hrm.org, and you can at least see, you know, a picture. But the picture doesn't do any justice because we have flowers and it's like 3D in certain areas. And so if you can't, that's okay, because let me tell you, on December 19th at 2 p.m. on Zoom, Eastern Standard Time, on Zoom and Facebook Live, there's going to be a panel discussion about the mural with me, Patricia, and Nancy, and as our role as public artists. And we're going to talk about our role and share insights and, you know, rejoice in our celebration of womanhood and just support throughout the community. So you'll be able to get to meet the other two artists, and it's going to be moderated by the director, Masha. And this is a free event. So you can just go to the website again, and I don't know exactly how it works. It's a free event, but I think you still have to register. But just go to the website and check it out, and you can learn more about the mural there and also just art in general and how we feel about working with the community.
It sounds to me, Katori, you know, I just have to say it, you seem to be embodying the, I would say, evolution, dare I say revolution, or of what's going on with women in society right now. You know, we have a woman vice president elect in the United States. Women are being raised to very, very significant and prominent positions. And it seems that you, from what listening to you, seem to embody the reason why. Okay, I have to say it like that, because you do everything, you're doing a lot of different things. I'm always impressed, and I love talking to artists, especially artists that are like of various stripe. You seem to embody the whole vibe that's happening right now, that like on the cusp of women being like the most significant people on the planet. That's just my opinion. I happen to be one, you know, but you seem to be embodying that. And I like the fact that you speak as a galvanizer. You plunge yourself in, it looks like 1,000% on each thing that you do.
Yes, absolutely. I'm very passionate about my work. And, you know, somebody had asked me, you know, especially for the Katori kids, they said to me, and thank you, by the way, someone said to me, you know, are you going to get a little political? Are you going to really, what's your mission? What are you really standing for? You know, you're doing these beautiful, you know, pieces. And, you know, what is it all about? We understand it's woman empowerment, and we understand, and it's not just woman empowerment, but, you know, empowerment. You want people to just go back to their, you know, remembering themselves and loving themselves and things like that. But, you know, what's the mission? Like, really, you should use your Katori kids as a platform to do this and that. And I said, maybe I will. I don't know, you know, just whatever's coming out me is coming out. But what I really started to think, because I just started to be put in and asked to do certain things, and exactly what you're saying is what's, you know, happening. And it wasn't anything that was planned. It just started to come to fruition. And so, for example, just getting involved on boards, getting myself involved in different areas, I found, oh, wow, you know, my work is making a statement. And I really didn't realize how much of a statement that it's making, and doing and working with the community and the children in the community, and working with the elderly in the community, just how much, you know, I'm just here, oh, I'm just an artist popping around doing my thing. Because there are other artists that, you know, it's like, oh, I'm the black art or feminism or, you know, blah, blah, blah. I kind of was just floating around, and I just ended up just feeling that people are not putting me in boxes, but they're like looking at me as if, oh, hey, you know, this is was my mission. And it really isn't. I kind of just fell into place, I guess.
I think it's easier for people outside of yourself. And I'll just say this in my opinion, and I can kind of hear that people, you might be going through the same thing. It's easier for them to have you in a category that's simple for them. And often it's because of their own personal agenda or their own corporate agenda or whatever. And it's, I would imagine that it's really hard to represent someone that does so many different things unless they can manage to switch gears and walk and chew gum at the same time. But I think often when people say things like that, is that, I know other people that have gone through that, where they want you to have one thing, but you're not just one thing.
Exactly. I'm not. I even loved photography. Like for one of our projects, 100 Words of Wisdom, when we celebrated 141, Evan Bishop and I, he actually got the grant and he asked me to assist him in it. You know, it was 141 seniors. I did the photography. I didn't do the art. So then people were like, these are beautiful, you know, because we didn't have the money or the funds to hire a photographer. Now we did, I have to give credit to Barry Mason, because he did do some of the pictures, but I mean, maybe three or four he took, you know, pictures, but out of the 140, whatever, 39 or whatever, just basically I did the majority of it. And thank God he contributed in so many ways. You know, I was up there asking him about the camera. I mean, my father bought me the camera for that. I used to take photography, but that was in high school. I mean, college rather. So my camera, my old Nikon, I mean, that was film. I was like, I didn't even know where to get film. You know, so the whole point of it that I'm saying is that, you know, I just jump in. And that's one of the things I hope that, you know, my legacy will be that I just do it. I mean, if it's in your heart and you have, I mean, even when you don't have the means, you can find a way. I think the universe looks into your heart and sees how hard you want to do something. And if you can do it, it just makes a way if it's possible. I mean, years ago, I was not a curator, but I wanted to support the artists that were on the streets down in the village. And I would go, I worked at a children's publishing company, and I went and I said, hey, you guys, I love your work, and I could purchase things here and there. I said, I want to put together an art show. And I didn't have anything. I wasn't making that much money. And I had no place, no whatever. And they were looking at me, well, have you done this before? No, but it's my dream. I want to do this for you guys. And I don't even want your money. I don't want your money. All you need to do is just pay $20 for food. You know, if I get anyone. And I ended up, it just miraculously, it's too much of a long story, but I ended up having a warehouse in Brooklyn do a show one day only. And I had 11 artists from the village do their work, and people came. I never did anything like that before. And it was amazing. And people sold their artwork, and they weren't going to give me money. I was like, no, I keep my word. You know, I mean, back then, all those years, who knew? Now I curate shows, but I didn't know. I didn't know this was going to be my path, because let me tell you, I thought I was going to have one job for the rest of my life, and it didn't have anything to do with art.
I understand. I hear where you're coming from on that one. You know, and it's true. So I know it was teaching often throughout my life, from sporadically at this point, but I just remember telling some college freshmen that I was teaching that, you know, don't think, even though you're studying, and I was teaching sociology, even though you're studying this subject or in psychology, because they were aspiring nurses and social workers, it doesn't mean you have to do this your whole life. It doesn't mean you have to. And sometimes you find yourself boomeranging. Sometimes you have to do other things in order to get to where you really originally wanted to do. But yeah, I appreciate you saying that and sharing that, because you are quite the Renaissance woman, which I think is a term that's overused. But I think in your case, it's actually true, because you're doing these things and you're just doing them. And it's not like you're doing without rhyme or reason, but you're moving with the spirit, you know, which is the artist's way.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a great book too, right?
I know, it's the title of my next one. Yes, a sequel to Actualized. But I think that what you're doing is fantastic. And what are your plans for 2021? Because we're sort of at the end of the year.
Please rest. No, I am going to do a little bit more. Evan and I, you know, we do a lot of things together as well, besides separate, right? But, you know, I went to him and I was like, honey, you know what? You know, moving forward, I really need to step back and I won't be able to do with you. It's just here and there. But I really want next year, to answer your question, to really be a time to look back at everything that we've been doing for the past 4 years. You know, there's no time to mention everything that I've been doing, but and with him and with other people as well. But look back and say, okay, you know, where do I go from here? I definitely want to continue to do work to brighten up areas. You know, my work in hospital, I almost had the opportunity to do that, but COVID-19 hit. And then they were talking about their budget and stuff. But I really would love my Katori kids to be, right now it's in a pediatric office in the Bronx, but I would love it to be worldwide. So I'd love my Katori kids to be in a place and do a mural, you know, in a place in areas where it's going to brighten up treatment rooms or hospitals, you know, places where people are waiting and, you know, they're waiting for a treatment or they're waiting to find out, you know, maybe some news that's not that great, and just brighten up those areas or in schools or something like that. So I definitely want to do some murals like that. That's in my mind. I'm also wanting to maybe do a school, you know, have a school, whether that's virtually or what, you know, a real place. But, you know, that's in my mind. And, you know, obviously it would have to do with art, but some other things in my mind, you know, very empowering. And I've been thinking about that. And I'm working on maybe creating some fashion pieces with my artwork. So, you know, but I really want, especially the way things are going, I really want to do something that's going to empower others, to have people to be interactive in the art that I'm doing. I mean, I love teaching. I'm not doing it anymore, but, you know, when I was teaching children's workshops and things like that, that was always fun, and doing it on Zoom. And also, you know, in real life. So, and I want to travel and inspire other people as well in other ways. You know, just this whole human consciousness, getting people. And I think people are really ready for that, even more so.
More than ever.
Yeah, more than ever. And, you know, love and doing service and figuring out, like right now, a lot of the stuff that we do, we don't get paid that much. You know, a lot of things I've done the last couple of years, I basically have, you know, went through my bank account.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not doing a sad story. I just want to let people know, you know, because some people just don't speak on it, but I just want people to know that you get grants or you get certain things, and sometimes you run out of money and you've got to make do with what you can, or you put in your own. And so I've had people say, why are you putting in your own money? Why are you, you know? And I'm like, because I really feel that this is so important. And, you know, no matter what it is, and I believe I'm doing it from the heart and I'm thinking it's helping other people. But there's a time when you also have to think about yourself. So I have to, we've given so much. It's sort of like, okay, now we need to take a step back. I mean, I'm speaking for myself, and kind of just do other things that, you know, we can have a income coming in, or else you will run out of money and you won't be able to do anything, right?
So it's probably a really good time to regroup. I just have to say this, is that, and I'm going to say it to the audience, there should never be a starving artist. And in listening to Katori, I'm just going to say this to you, to myself again, and to the audience, is that artists do things that most people cannot do. Okay, when businesses get in trouble, they call on us. And I think that my mission, especially in talking to Katori and the incredible talent that she has, and her inclination to give back to the community through the stuff that comes out of her soul, I think it it really means to me that there's no reason why she can't get paid for it, because it's helping the whole community. It's helping the businesses. And my mission, and I'm going to just say this to Katori in the audience, is to get rid of that term starving artist. I find it offensive, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And that people putting the kind of energy that you, Katori, are putting into your art and giving back to the community, I think that is really a demonstration of why people should view artists differently. We are not meant to starve. We do stuff that most people can't do. On that, I'm just going to say for now, okay, because I'm going to have you back on, Katori. I'm going to say for now to the audience, good night, goodbye, and thank you for visiting. And Katori, just quickly, give me the website you want people to contact you by.
They can go to Walker Katori, because I'm getting ready to redo my website, so that's not up any longer. So they could go to Walker Katori on Instagram.
Also, just spell your name for people, that it's a K-A-T-O-R-I, right?
Yes.
K-A-T-O-R-Y. And Katori's last name is Walker. And there's nobody else with that name. And there's nobody else with that energy. And there's nobody else with that talent. And thank you, Katori Walker. You'll always be Katori to me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. I truly enjoyed being on here. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and thank you. And thank you for coming to the Energy Stoners Cafe. And come back next time. I'll have another fabulous guest for you to listen to. And be safe out there, and be nice to everybody that you see, no matter what, unless they're doing something bad to you. And I'll say goodbye. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.